Good morning. Good morning. Blessings all mine, blessings all ours, 10,000 beside. Do you think that's a good and apt description of these days that we've had together? I mean, very, very familiar words, aren't they, to our hearts? I've grown up with them. I wonder how many of you knew what the subject of the conference would be before you came and before you got your program. Is the general consensus you didn't know what the subject would be? Is that right? Am I presuming correctly? Yes. Okay, good. So I wonder what you thought when we came into this room that first evening and looked at the, title, because I know you all love titles. So, I mean, we couldn't have a conference without a title. But, I mean, it's much more than that, isn't it? And obviously, both Bernard and I knew, and Bibi knew, and maybe others who were preparing for the conference knew exactly what the title would be. I mean, a title is, obviously it's got to be worked out through the days that we're together. And that's why I said that the blessings, there's 10,000, I mean, there's 10,000s upon 10,000s upon 10,000s of blessings that have come to our hearts already. And to me, it's just been, this title or this subject has been in my heart for a little time. We need time to prepare, don't we? Don't you think so? I mean, I can't just get up and look nice in front of you with my nice green blouse on. That was a gift to me, okay? So I just can't get up and just say pleasant nothings in your ear before God. I have the privilege, and I do bless him for that, but it's an awesome responsibility. In the early hours of the morning, my insides were quite chaotic, and I thought of the expression that we often use, butterflies in your tummy, and I thought that was so degrading to such beautiful creatures. So, you understand what I mean? And I just thought, no, Lord, they're not really butterflies. I'm human, and I have those nerves that have ends, and they're not really butterflies. I probably would describe them as something else, which I didn't get round to making a description. But it's been in my heart, this subject of the community of God, the church, the community of God, and particularly an aspect of the community of God, which, as Bernard said yesterday, the family and parenting. Now, really, I've been given a task that would fill an encyclopedia. So please don't expect me to cover every aspect. I feel in my heart that I will only cover very, very little. But I'm content with that because I want to share with you what God has given me. And I'm glad of that he has and continues to be faithful to me in these areas of my life where I've got to go on and grow up into him. Now, the title is The Church, okay? The Community, the charismatic community of God. I just want to spread out the thought of the family and parenting in a particular way. I want to take that little phrase at the end, of God, okay? If you're a good English grammar student, that's a prepositional phrase. I can remember my students in Perth, they couldn't stand grammar. And of course, then they couldn't really speak properly or put the words together properly. So if you don't master the basics, you don't master anything, really. And that is the same in the spirit. So here you've got God as the fount of all life, and from his being comes everything, all life. And the family and parenting and all the grand scale of that is based on the pattern that we've already heard so much about. I mean, it's not a, what shall I say, it's not a pattern that's abstract. It's a pattern that's alive with the pulse of the very life of God that I'm only beginning to understand, and I want to learn more, and I can hear the cry of hearts here. I hope you can, because that will be great fuel for praying as you go on. So that's really just my foundation. You've got the family, okay, before ever. Just so that I don't get wandering, a bit like Nat, you know, I don't want to go around the world and meet him at the other side. I want to really keep to what God has given me. So the family is God's first earthly institution. Now, we're talking about a mum, a dad, and children, or we're talking about a mum and dad. Now, I want to, as I go on, I want to spread that out a little bit more so that it's all inclusive of each one of us here, because I realize that some are parents, some aren't parents, okay? But you've all been in a family, and all are still in a family. I don't think there are many islands here. You haven't produced yourself, have you? You know what I mean? Okay, you get born, and then you might try to produce yourself and produce an image that probably is far from God. But I know that that isn't the case amongst us. So we've got this heavenly pattern. I mean, two little words speak volumes. It just spoke volumes to me when I started to consider the family, our families, our relationships in just normal, natural life that we have lived in since the very first moment we cried. When someone, either the doctor or the midwife, gave us a good bash on the back and we cried. Okay. So there is that basic pattern, and it's good to be rooted in God. And I want to just testify to this heavenly pattern and this heavenly community that we have been hearing about. I mean, how can words describe? I don't know. But yet I know that my husband has laid it so much before the Lord and has brought out the wealth and the riches that are unsearchable. That's what Paul says in Ephesians. He was declaring the unsearchable riches. We're declaring, or seeking to declare in a feeble way, the unsearchable riches of God's community. Now, before we went to Perth, now you know that we've lived in Perth for 14 years, and we had ladies' meetings. Okay, they were precious, precious times. But I remember in the beginning how they frightened me out of my life, because, you know, these ladies were demanding that we had a meeting, okay? Because down the road, the church down the road had a meeting, had a ladies' meeting, okay? That was the reason, you know, that they wanted a meeting. So by the Lord's grace, I challenged them and said, why do you want a meeting? Why do you want a ladies' meeting? Is it just because it's popular to have one, or because the other churches in their program have it? And God led us through to a place where we did meet, a time that we met, okay, where we were able to extract from that time the maximum that God wanted us to have at that particular time. Anyway, it was just wonderful. And it was during that time that God opened John's Gospel to me. Now, Bernard asked a question the other evening. He said, where would you go if you want to discover more of the riches of the community of God? And of course, I said John's Gospel because it just rose out of me. It wasn't that it was an answer that I'd heard repeated somewhere. It was in here because God put it in here many years ago and opened up John's Gospel to me. To my stupid mind, he opened up the wonders of God being face to face with God and the Son being towards God. I mean, when I speak to you or you speak to me, I don't turn my side or, you know, so that you can see this profile. I turn face to face to you, you know, and there's just the marvel and the wonder of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. I wanted to sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I'm ever eternally grateful to the way the Lord led at that time and opened up my spirit and my mind to the revelation of God's community. I mean, I know there's much more to be done, but it was fresh. It was new. And so coming and seeing this title, I sort of had a head start. Because something rose from within me, and I recognized that I'm on good ground. I'm on ground where I know and intimately know that God has revealed truth in the measure according to the gift of Christ. He's okay, it's not in a great measure, but it's a measure that I have to deal with. And the measure that he deals with you, you have to deal with. So I just want to, shall I say, root the family and parenting and all to do with relationships in this wonderful community of God, which has already been so expressed to us. And I just want to, here we are, and we cannot help but be in relationship in some way or other to one another. I want to spread it out a little bit from just husband, wife, and children, okay? I want to spread it out into your extended family, okay, who may not be the Lord's, also into the church that you are in at this particular point in time. And if you're not in a church, well, okay. But I want to spread it out, and I want you to just see how all relationships must interact and interrelate. Now, these words, please keep them in your mind. There's an interlocking. There's a blending. There's a mingling. There's a mixing of hearts, one with another. Okay, now that's the phrase that I'm going to share about, okay, but I want you to see it in a broad sense. Don't just, okay, if you're not a husband, then, you know, I want you to still listen to what I want to say. If you're not a wife, you know, it doesn't matter, because before God, you have had to be exercised in the relationships that are in your life. And, I mean, to be honest, some turn sour, don't they? Some are very, very tough. Some are difficult. So this is what the Lord has put on my heart. I want you to go to Ephesians, okay? And here's another question for you. How are you with the one another's of Scripture. Now, does that sound too, I don't know, too bland? How are you with the commands in Scripture that have such a bearing upon our everyday relationships? In family, in work, wherever you are, you're related to the person next to you, or the person across the hallway, or the person who is your neighbor. There's a relationship that's God-given, because the whole community of God is in relationship. You can't be an island. I mean, here we are, one. Okay. And here's another. Okay. Now, what good is one without the other? There's got to be communication. There's got to be a correspondence. There's got to be a movement, like we heard last night, not necessarily circulatory, but a movement between one and the other. I mean, you just can't remain an island. I mean, many do. This is the very sad thing. And you've got the marvel of Ephesians, and one of the themes there is God the Father. Do it yourself. Do the exercise yourself and go through and see how many times God the Father is mentioned. It's amazing. I mean, I've read Ephesians many times, but often I realize with the Lord that he just doesn't pour in everything at once. When the situation arises, God is faithful. And God has certainly been faithful to me. I mean, I just trust that I'm able to cause it to flow out to you. So how are you with the one another's of Scripture, particularly in the context of this letter? Now, the reason I mention God the Father is because as I was reading through various books and, you know, things like that, you prepare your heart before we came. I don't need to go anywhere for books. I've my own bookworm and bookkeeper. Isn't that right? And often Bernard will suggest, and often beside my bed I'll find this book, and I know exactly where it came from, and very timely. So anyway, the reason I mention God the Father is because I was reading a particular book on parenting. Oh dear, it was so heavy. I thought, Lord, have I been like that? Have I been such a heavy parent? You know what I mean? And I just trust I haven't been. I know that there are many instructions that we must pay attention to, but there's no way in which I can lay them all before you this morning. So this is how I seek to approach it, really on a much broader basis, so that we're all included, so that really there's got to be that care spread around. If you don't have any children, say in a church setting, okay, there are other children in the church. This is what I've discovered through the church experience that we've been in. So I remember a dear lady in Perth, and such sad things have happened to that lady. She couldn't control her children when she came. And so they used to come and visit us because you embrace them. Treasures they were, three lovely children. They would go wild, literally running over chairs. Okay. So I said to Carol, please may I tell your children that my furniture is not for walking on, etc. You said, yes, please. She used to bring them to me so that they would stay with me, so that we could just get to know one, so I could be a grandmother to them, because there was no grandmother around. And anyway, the whole issue of fatherhood of God stood out to me freshly in this book, because at that time, I've written it down here actually, there was a law in Rome, and you know that the rule of Rome spread all over those countries where Paul preached and traveled and so on, and there was a law called I'll read it out, it's in Latin. Patria potestas. Okay, that means the father's power. And the father had absolute power, cruel and vicious, over his wife, his children, his servants. Everything he touched was cruelly dealt with. Say his wife had a new baby, she would bring the baby to the father's feet and put it there. If he picked up that child, the child was accepted. If he didn't, the child was destroyed. And I mean, it's many, many more things like that. You know, the wife was a chattel and all the rest of it. So it came clear to me, Paul, you know exactly what you're doing under the Spirit of God. You're speaking the fatherhood of God to these Ephesian Christians in this church. You know, at the point when Paul wrote and they got the letter, they were only about 10 years old. Now, how long have you been walking with the Lord? I've been, I think, 40 years. Dreadful, isn't it, when you think of how long the years, how they've passed. Anyway, I just want to read one scripture, and it's in chapter 3, and then we'll be going through lots of other scriptures. It's verse 14. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the fatherhood of the Lord Jesus Christ." Isn't that amazing? I mean, just take that in. I mean, we have to bow to the fatherhood of our Lord Jesus Christ in all relationships. If we don't go back to that root and source, we don't have the strength to be sane people. And we don't have the strength to bring up, like this book says, bring up our children in the admonition of the Lord and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So when you see God in the New Testament, it's always speaking of his fatherhood. Not just God as a being separate from all communities, okay? Because the community originated in the original community. It's a wonderful exercise just to sit and meditate on the community of God and all the truths that have been expressed to us. You know, the loving of one another, the giving of one another, the serving of one another, the honoring. You could just go on and on and on, but it's got to become real in your relationships because you have been made in the image of God. And the family, as I said earlier, is God's divinely ordained institution. It's very marvelous, isn't it? To know that we're just not flotsam and jetsam, you know, floating in the arena of the world and, you know, we're rooted and grounded in the truth of God. And so you have, it's no surprise that Paul addresses many different relationships in this book. I mean, I'm sure you've probably seen that many times as you've read Ephesians, but it's very good to home in on it at the moment. So I'm going to ask you that question again. How are you in practical outworkings with the one another's of Scripture that we will find in this book? Let's go to the first one, shall we? It's in chapter 5 and verse 19. Okay. Speaking to one another. I'm not going to say any more because you know the Scriptures, you're so familiar with them. And that's why I wanted to really home in on the fact that the family, instead of using the word family, I wanted to use God's ordained institution. And maybe that's not really such a good idea either. You know, family, because we get familiar with the truth, don't we? We get familiar with the Scriptures. We get very familiar with, you know, we just turn it over and over. And so that's why we need that spirit of wisdom and revelation that God will really renew us in our minds and constantly renew us so that we're able to grasp the truth. So we've got speaking to one another. Okay, what does that mean? I'm seeking to articulate words to you, aren't I? I'm seeking to express myself to you, okay? I'm wanting to communicate what God has put in my heart with words and gestures. So how do you fare with that one? I mean, we've got a daughter who, she says, Mom, I can't be like you. She says, you just go and speak to everybody. I said, Ginny, you don't have to be like me. I said, just be who you are. And that's one of the secrets I've discovered through life. God revealed his wonderful love to me a long, long way back. And I found the courage and confidence to be who I am. You know, right in the very beginning when we first got married and the church was born in Reading. So there was a couple and there were us. Okay, that was meaning two homes. And the other sister and I, of course, were very much interwoven in all the things that we did and our preparations for the meetings and so on. And when God moved, he moved, first of all, in the university there in Reading. And the students started coming to the meetings. And then, as time went on, I noticed, I could see very clearly, because there was this sister and myself, I could see these young folk patterning themselves on this sister and on me. It was amazing, you know, just not really being prepared to be who they were before God. I mean, I know it takes a long time for us sometimes to learn the lessons, but these are the things that we have to learn. And the speaking, I mean, we've been exhorted to go around and speak. And as Bernard said, he said he would have hoped that you would have already asked some of those questions that you asked. You know what I mean? Take the opportunities that God gives. Not speaking for the sake of speaking, and not just speaking words, just because every sound is significant. And we love words. I mean, you can't be Irish and not have what they call the gift of the gab. Now that's, okay, the Lord takes you up and he clips that and works in you so that you're not always yak, yak, yakking. You know what I mean? But when it's appropriate, you know, we need to be in the context of our relationships, we need to be open to speak to one another. I mean, I don't know what you're like in your church when new people come in. I think of folk who haven't been here in this conference before. You know, have you been to see where they come from? I'm only just speaking. You know, I know we've had much encouragement on their level, but speaking to one another, okay? I know it also talks about, it says here in Psalms. Anyway, we won't go on to all of those, but there is melody in your heart. If you look at the end of that, the melody that's in your heart is because you're communicating and just finding out. I gave a suggestion, I think it was as we were at the table yesterday for our evening meal. People often say to me, oh, you remember names well. Okay. But I'll give you just a little suggestion. You can take it up or not. You know, at the back of your program, you've got the accommodation and the names where everybody is. Cut that out, okay? And keep it till next year. That's what I've just discarded last year's, because I knew by God's grace we'd get here safely and I would be given another one. And so, as Bernard has said to you, you'll often see me sitting, just looking. I have no idea what your circumstances are, but as Charles spoke yesterday about that tremendous and wonderful picture of the breastplate on the high priest, I name you before the Father of every family. Okay? Well, let's go on to the next one, otherwise we're going to get nowhere. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I know I'm going where God wants me to go. So, okay. Now, verse 21. Submitting to one another. Aha. Shall we leave that one out? Or shall we sort of highlight it? Or what shall we do? The truth is broad and deep and high and wide, and there's no time to apply it, but you have to apply it in your own relationships and the breadth of those relationships that God has brought you into. It's submitting to one another. Okay, I'll come back to that in a little moment, okay? Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. This is in the context, of course, of the body, I know, but I want to apply it to just everyday relationships that you're involved with one another. So it's with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering. Now you'd think that'd be enough, but here we are, bearing with one another in love. So you bear with me in love. You bear with one another in gentleness. You bear with one another with a lowly heart and a lowly mind, esteeming the other better than yourself. So let the Lord challenge your heart about that. And then this is a way to endeavor to keep the unity, which is the next verse, of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay, now let's go on to verse 32 of the same chapter. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God the Father in Christ forgave you. So they're self-explanatory in a way, aren't they? I don't really need to add to the scripture. Our understanding of these truths must come as we lay ourselves before God and before one another. Kindness is not a natural thing. You only have to be amongst children to see that and how they are hateful to one another. And the scripture talks to us about being kind to one another. Okay? Then in chapter 4, again, I missed one, didn't I? Verse 25, we are, at the end, we are members of one another. Now that means that we've come from the one source, from the fount of all life. And I know that mainly Paul is speaking about the church, but I want you to consider your relationships one with the other and realize that there's a membership, there's a joining of heart to heart that has to be very, very real and worked out on a day-to-day basis. Now, go to the next book. Colossians, okay? And then I'll come back to another one. Colossians chapter 3, this time. And verse 9, this is quite an interesting one. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him. There we are back again to God who created all things. So do not lie to one another. So we've got to learn to speak the truth to one another. that often involves confrontation. That often involves courage. Because it's nice to say nice things to one another. You know what I mean? Sometimes we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to disturb lives. We just want to let things go. It's so true that man takes the path of least resistance. We don't want a confrontation. I don't like them, to be very honest. But I've had to live with them for year after year. And then after, like, the storm has over and abated, you just are so grateful to God that so much has been accomplished because the truth has been spoken. So don't even little lie to one another. The young people here, you know, as you're sort of in your studies and so on, just be who you are. Don't lie to even your teachers, your professors, you know what I mean? Just be the truth. And God will give you grace. He will give us all grace to live from day to day. Our situations are totally different. There are as many different situations here as there are different people. And so we've got to see that God is able to lead us through from day to day. So do not lie to one another. I mean, we can lie to ourselves. But the scripture and the command here is do not lie to one another. Okay? Then another verse in... That was verse 9. Now, verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Now, that hits hard because it's ever so easy to complain. And I heard what Bernard was saying last night about the Lord offering up yourself afresh so that your mindset is changed, so that you're not in that complaining mode and finding fault all the time. Actually, some parents are like that with children. I've met children who've been fed on failure, who've been fed on criticism. You know what I mean? And these are very... This goes very, very deep. The Proverbs is a wonderful book. I commend that to parents, where it talks about tale-bearing and tattling, and it says it's something that goes right into the depths of your stomach. And I'm not quoting it quite correctly. But it's a frame of mind and a mindset that is very easy to slip into. It's a slippery slope. And so that's why we need to be obedient to the Lord in the way we handle one another. Have you ever been mishandled by God? My testimony, I've never. But you've been mishandled, even maybe by one another or by others. I haven't met anyone across the breadth of the world, and I haven't gone to every country, but no matter who you speak to, they have been hurt and wounded. And as Bernard has been sharing about God enfolding us in his love, I want to recommend, some of you may already actually have a little book by a lady who was born in the 14th century. She was called Julian of Norwich, and she was what they called an anchoress, and she lived in a little stone room next to a particular church. We actually went there, didn't we, to see it. And she lived in there with a servant, and she just counseled and loved and taught everyone who came by. And there's another book that she's written, The Revelations of Divine Love. And there's a special little book, I think, I don't know if I've given it to anybody here. It's called Enfolded in Love. It's only a little tiny book, but she received the revelation that from her very earliest days she was enfolded in the love of the Father, enfolded in the love of the Son, and enfolded in the love of the Spirit. You know, she received that enfolding. Sometimes we use the word embrace, but it can lose its power. It's good to have fresh insights into the marvelous love of God, isn't it? So there's really no ground for any of us to have complaint, because we're all flawed. We've all failed one another. I mean, you may think, oh, well, big deal. Why share these things? But God really stressed them in my heart. I wouldn't do it unless he had done so. So the whole area of complaint and fault finding has just got to be eradicated from our hearts and from our spirits and from our relationships. It will be from our relationships if it's not in our heart. When I find when there's been a stab, whether it's to the face or to the back, it doesn't matter. I found in my own heart a spontaneous rising of love. It seems strange to me because, you know, why not fight back? Why not give as good as you get? But that's the truth, and I'm discovering that more and more, and that's a great blessing. It's such a relief. I don't want to hold anything against anybody. I want to bear with one another. As we've gone from church to church, obviously the people who were with us in Exeter didn't all come to Perth. You know what I mean? I mean, that sounds stupid, but what I'm saying is, when we started and God really moved in Exeter in 1972, a whole new set of people. There were six in the prayer meeting to begin with. That was 1972. And then as God moved and the Spirit was poured out, there were hundreds in the church. And I realized that my responsibility before God was to embrace my brothers and sisters. I didn't go out and handpick them because she was a nice lady. Or I didn't go out and handpick that brother because he was pleasant. None of us have any responsibility in that area of adding to the Lord's church. And it's something that has been very liberating for me as the years have gone on. Because I know clearly from God the responsibility that he has set there in the context of church life. That I love, that I speak the truth. All these one another's that I'm sharing with you, they're the responsibility of each one of us if the Lord has opened our eyes even in a little measure. Well, I just want to go on to the verse 16 of chapter 3 of Colossians. I have to stop in 5 minutes, okay? Let the word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There's the teaching and admonishing, which obviously comes into family life, comes into parenting, comes into church life, doesn't it? There are those in our midst who have the responsibility of teaching, who have the responsibility of admonishing, who have the responsibility of exhorting. But don't just leave it to them. We all have a responsibility to live before one another as the Lord is teaching us his ways. Now, just to finish, I want to go back to Ephesians, because I realize that in this chapter, let me find it, the one in chapter 5 and verse 21, this is the bedrock I come back to this one because I can't just leave it unspoken again. And did you hear the prophecy that came just earlier? Did anybody hear that word in the midst of what God said about submitting? Sally didn't say submitting to one another, but that was the movement of the truth in what she said. So, are we submitting to one another in the context of our relationships, in the context of day-to-day life? This one, or this command, I believe all the others flow out from that. This one is key, and it's not an easy one. I can remember a lady in Perth when we first started the ladies' meetings. She couldn't understand. She was a missionary. She couldn't understand why I was submissive to my husband. So I was amazed. You know, I was absolutely staggered because it's never been an issue to me. Okay? It's never been a great big placard that I sort of have to face and fight. It's been something that's been an inward state of willingness in my heart. And I know that that's what God wants to do with each one of us, so that we can live as the community of God in our families, in our parenting, in the church. And just one scripture that I will finish with, Romans chapter 12. You have much practical application here of actually what I've been saying. You have many of them. But I just want to finish with the end of the first verse of chapter 12. Now this is our reasonable and spiritual worship. How do I sum up all that I have shared this morning? It comes down to one word, because each one of these components are commandments. And so our obedience is vital. And when our obedience is forthcoming from the spirit of our hearts, there will be reasonable and spiritual worship, which is going on in the Godhead all the time, which is ceaseless in that original community on which God has patterned the family and on which God has patterned his church. So may the Lord open our eyes. He has refreshed my heart, and I trust that he'll refresh your heart. So it's 11 o'clock on the dot. So let's pray. Father, we do bow our knees before the Father of the whole family in heaven and on earth. And we're grateful that we're not just isolated islands that have come out of a lump of slime, but Lord, you have fashioned us according to the great heart of God. You have created us in your image, and you will go on working out that image throughout our relationships, Lord, as we open our hearts to you. We bless your name together, Lord, that there is help from above, there is strength, there is brightness for the future as we commit ourselves to you, Lord. Lord, we need not fear. We are to submit to one another in the fear of God. Lord, you are a fearful and awesome God, but we know that you are so loving, and you want to enfold each one of us in that great love. Lord, let us allow you in a fresh way today. Thank you for your grace to every heart. And thank you for every life, Lord, that mirrors your image. And we pray that we will walk on in the strength of our God, Lord. Amen.